Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are opening up a file that honestly I think makes a lot of people squirm. It's a topic that hits us right in the daily routine. You know that precise moment where your thumb stops scrolling on social media, you see a picture of someone who is just incredibly fit.
Oh yeah.
Maybe showing some skin, maybe looking a little too perfect, and your brain just kind of short circuits.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's the instant judgment zone. It happens in a split second.
Right. You're torn. Part of you is impressed, maybe a little envious, thinking, wow, look at that discipline. But then, especially if you come from a faith background, this alarm bell goes off. You think, is this vanity? Is this narcissism? And the big one, is this idolatry?
It is a minefield. And, you know, we usually decide the verdict in about half a second based entirely on what we see.
Mm-hmm.
But the research we're looking at today suggests we might be getting that verdict wrong.
Yeah, totally wrong. More often than we think.
Mm.
We are digging into the world of fit fashion, specifically high-level fitness photography, and using some really fascinating source material to unpack the theology of the body. Our vision today is to figure out the difference between two words that, you know, sound fancy but are actually crucial, body idolatry and body reverence.
And I want to be clear right up front.
Yeah.
This isn't just about gym selfies. This is about how human beings relate to the physical vessel they walk around in. The core premise we're exploring is that the difference between worshiping your body and honoring it has almost nothing to do with what you see in a photo.
Which sounds completely counterintuitive. I mean, we're visual creatures. We think if we see it, we know what it is.
Exactly. We think it's about the optics, how much muscle, how much skin, how much lighting. But the sources argue it's about orientation.
Orientation.
It's about the posture of the heart, which is just, it's invisible to the camera lens.
Orientation. Okay, that's a key term we're going to be using a lot today. It's basically, which way is your soul facing when you look in the mirror? Because, as our notes point out, gratitude and pride can look identical from the outside.
They can, and that's the scary part. You can have two identical photos of two people in the same pose. One is an act of deep spiritual sickness idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
The other is an act of deep spiritual health reverence. And if you're just scrolling by, you can't tell the difference.
So let's break this down. Let's start with the bad guy of the story, idolatry. We toss that word around a lot, you know, usually meaning liking something too much. But in this context, what is the actual mechanism of body idolatry?
So if we treat idolatry as an orientation, the source material defines it as being fundamentally outward facing.
Mm.
Think of it like a hunger that can only be fed by other people.
It's looking for a reaction. It needs fuel from the outside.
Exactly. It asks a specific set of questions. Idolatry looks at the world and asks, look at me.
Validate me.
Tell me I matter. It's a transaction. I show you my body. You give me my worth.
That's heavy. It turns the body into a currency.
It turns the body into a resume.
Mm-hmm.
In this mindset, your abs or your waistline, they aren't just physical features. They are your security.
Right.
They are the thing that makes you okay in the world. And theologically, that's where it gets dangerous. Because you are replacing God with your own reflection. You're deriving your identity from the created thing rather than the creator.
It's the look at me game. And we all play it to some degree, right? It doesn't even have to be fitness. It could be about our intellect or our career. But with the body, it's just so visceral.
It is.
Because you can't take it off. You walk around in it.
And because it's outward facing. It's incredibly fragile. If the likes don't come, or if the body changes, which it inevitably will because we age, the identity collapses.
Mm.
If your worth is tied to look at me, what happens when people stop looking?
You starve. That's a terrifying thought. Okay, so that's the trap. That's the outward gaze. Now let's pivot to the alternative, which the text calls reverence. This is a word that feels a bit dusty, like something you do in a cathedral with hushed tones. But how does it apply to fitness and the body?
Reverence is the opposite orientation. It's an inward gaze.
Mm-hmm.
It's not asking the crowd for anything. Instead, it's asking, what has been entrusted to me?
Entrusted. I love that word. It implies you're holding something that isn't actually yours.
That's the key. It shifts the ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Idolatry says, this is mine. Look at what I built.
Mm-hmm.
Reverence says, this was given to me. Look at how I've cared for it. The questions change.
Right.
It becomes, can I acknowledge this body without worshiping it? And can I be grateful without glorifying myself?
That is such a subtle line to walk. Grateful without glorifying myself. It reminds me of, okay, imagine a gardener. If a gardener grows an amazing rose bush, they can be proud of it. They can take a picture of it.
Sure.
But if they start thinking the rose bush makes them a god, that's the problem.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
The gardener is a steward. And that's what reverence turns the body into,
mm-hmm.
a responsibility, a testimony.
Mm.
The source material boils it down to this really punchy contrast. Idolatry says, look at me.
And reverence says,
thank you.
Look at me versus thank you. One is a demand, the other is an offering.
Precisely. One sucks energy out of the room, the other contributes something back. One is loud, the other is, it's grounded.
But I want to push back on this a little bit, playing the skeptic here, because there is a school of thought, especially in religious circles, and I've heard this plenty of times, that says if you really want to be humble, if you really want to avoid idolatry, you should just ignore your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cover it up, don't think about it, don't photograph it. Isn't true humility just invisibility?
That is the classic Gnostic tendency. The idea that the spirit is good and the body is bad. It's an old heresy, actually.
Mm.
But the source material hits this head on. It argues that you cannot honor something you refuse to look at honestly.
So ignoring the body isn't reverence.
No, it's neglect. Think about the gift analogy again. If someone gives you a precious, intricate instrument, like a Stradivarius violin, and you shove it in a closet and never look at it because you're humble, are you honoring the giver?
No, you're wasting the gift. You're actually insulting the giver by acting like what they gave you isn't worth maintaining.
Right. We are told to honor God with our bodies. That requires attention. It requires discipline. And yes, sometimes it requires looking in the mirror or looking at a photo and seeing the progress. Reverence allows for appreciation without attachment.
Appreciation without attachment. That's the mature state. You can appreciate the beauty of the instrument without thinking the instrument defines your soul.
And the source uses a brilliant visual metaphor here to seal the deal. It compares the role of the body in these two mindsets. Idolatry treats the body as a throne.
A throne.
And reverence treats the body as a gift.
Okay, let's unpack that. Body is throne. That evokes a very specific image.
A throne is a seat of power. It's where you rule from. If your body is your throne, you are serving it constantly. You're polishing it, defending it, demanding others bow to it. You are a slave to the maintenance of your own power.
Wow.
And anyone who threatens that throne by criticizing you or not noticing you becomes an enemy.
Which sounds exhausting. It sounds like a full-time job that pays in anxiety.
It is exhausting.
Yeah.
But a gift is something you hold in your hands. You take care of it, you cherish it, but you don't sit on it. You don't rule from it. And ultimately, you know it came from someone else.
Right.
If I lose a gift, I am sad, but I am still me. If I lose my throne, I am nothing.
That distinction really clarifies the why behind the physical discipline. You're not training to build a throne. You're training to polish a gift. That completely changes the vibe of the gym, doesn't it?
It changes everything. It changes why you lift, why you run, and yes, why you might take a picture.
But here is where we run into the wall of reality. I mean, we live in a digital world. We don't see people's hearts. We see their JPEGs. We see pixels on a screen. And the source material brings up this massive problem called the collapse of nuance.
This is the hurdle we all trip over. Social media is a nuance-killing machine. It strips away context. It strips away the before and the after. It just gives you the now.
So you're scrolling through a feed. You see a woman who is extremely fit, maybe posing in a way that shows muscle definition. To the naked eye, look at me and thank you look exactly the same.
It's visual ambiguity. A photo of someone flexing could be an act of supreme vanity. I am the best. Look at my biceps. Or it could be a moment of profound gratitude. I worked for 6 months to recover from an injury, and look what this body can do now.
Yeah.
The pixel data is identical. Mm. The spiritual reality is opposite.
And we, the audience, we usually default to the worst assumption. Why do we do that?
We do.
Yeah.
We project. We often project our own insecurities. If I feel bad about my body and I see you feeling good about yours, I might label you as vain to protect my own ego. The source notes that fit fashion cannot be understood correctly by scrolling alone, because scrolling only reveals the optic. It doesn't reveal the heart.
That is so important. We are judging a spiritual posture based on a visual aesthetic.
And the comforting and terrifying thing is that God doesn't judge by optics.
He judges by intent.
Intent and posture. He knows if that photo was taken to solicit envy or if it was taken to mark a moment of faithfulness.
So if we can't judge by looking, we need to understand the people inside the photos. Who is the typical fit fashion participant? Because, again, the stereotype is the 22-year-old narcissist influencer who just loves looking at themselves in the mirror.
Yeah.
But the source material paints a very different demographic.
It really corrects that assumption. The profile suggests these are often women and men, but the focus here is often on women who are coming out of years of intense discipline. And significantly, they are often emerging from seasons of self-neglect, self-criticism, or even shame.
That's a huge shift in perspective. If you've spent 10 years hating your body or ignoring it because you thought that was holy, taking a photo where you actually like what you see, that's not vanity.
It's healing.
It's almost like a reclamation.
Exactly. The source called this maturity. Learning to say, this is good, without saying, I am God, it's moving away from shame. Because often we disguise shame as humility. We think, if I hide my body, I'm being modest. But really deep down, we just hate ourselves. We think we are unworthy.
Wow. Yeah. Hiding isn't always holiness. Sometimes it's just fear. Mm. And sometimes it's ingratitude for the body you were given.
Right. And this fit fashion approach says, no, you can step into the light. You can acknowledge the work. You can acknowledge the gift. And you can do it without being consumed by it.
It's finding the middle ground between idolatry, which is obsession, and shame, which is neglect. And that middle ground is honor.
Honor. That's the target.
Now let's get practical about the photos themselves, sure. Because there is still that nagging question. The host in our source material asks it, isn't photographing the body a form of glorifying it? Like, why do you need the camera? Can't you just be fit in private?
Right. Why the photo shoot?
Why the documentation?
This is the audience question.
Uh-huh.
And the answer is fascinating because it challenges how we think about photography.
Mm-hmm.
The source argues that idolatry needs an audience. It dies without the likes.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a vanity photo and no one sees it, did it even happen? The idol needs the sacrifice of attention.
It's a vampire. It needs the blood of validation.
The reverence. Reverence doesn't need an audience. And here is the kicker. Most of these fit fashion images, especially the ones taken in these specific contexts of stewardship, are not actually created for public consumption.
Wait, really? I assume everything is content. I assume everything is for the gram.
That's the assumption. But the text says these images are often created primarily for the woman herself. They are described as private, reflective, and grounding.
So it's a personal artifact. It's for the archive, not the feed.
Think of it like a stone of remembrance in the Bible. You know, when they would cross the river and pile up stones to say, God did this, we made it across.
Right.
These photos are modern stones of remembrance. They mark a season of faithfulness. They mark a physical milestone.
So if I take a picture of my progress and I stick it in a private folder on my phone and I look at it and say, wow, look how far I've come, that is a totally different spiritual act than posting it for likes.
Completely different. If you choose to post it later, that's a secondary choice. But the primary purpose is for you to see the fruit of your stewardship. It's to remind yourself of what discipline can do.
That changes how I view the whole industry, honestly. It's not necessarily a billboard, it's a diary.
And the expert in our source material takes it even a step further. They argue that fit fashion, when done this way, is actually resisting idolatry.
That's a bold claim, resisting it, because to the outsider, it looks like it's indulging it.
Well, think about the culture. The culture tells us the body is for sex, or for power, or for selling things. It tells us to obsess over it, to fix every flaw, to buy every product.
Right. It tells us we are never enough.
Fit fashion, in this specific context of reverence, resists that by putting the body back in its proper place.
And what is that proper place?
As a vessel.
Right.
By looking at the body honestly and saying, I have cared for this, I am strong, but this is not my God. You are actually fighting against the cultural current that says your body is everything. You are declawing the idol. Mm-hmm. You are saying, I see you, I appreciate you, but I don't worship you.
You're taking the body off the throne and putting it back in the servant's quarters, but you're treating the servant with immense respect.
That's it. It's about order.
Mm.
Idolatry is disordered love. Reverence is ordered love.
Yeah.
You love the giver more than the gift, but you still honor the gift.
This brings us back to that idea we started with, the visual ambiguity. We can't know the order of someone's heart just by looking at their photo. We can't see their motives.
We can't, and maybe we shouldn't try. Maybe the lesson for us as the viewers is to stop projecting our own insecurities onto other people's images.
Yeah.
If we see someone celebrating their discipline, maybe our reaction shouldn't be judgment, but curiosity.
Right.
Or just letting it be.
And for the people taking the images, the lesson is to check the heart, to ask those hard questions before the shutter clicks.
Always. Why am I doing this? Who is this for?
So let's bring this in for a landing. We've covered a lot of ground today. We started with that tension, the skepticism we feel when faith meets fitness photography.
We defined our terms. Idolatry is, look at me, an outward desperation for validation. Reverence is, thank you, an inward gratitude for what has been entrusted.
We looked at the theology, and I really hope that throne versus gift analogy sticks with you listeners. Idolatry treats the body as a throne to rule from. Reverence treats it as a gift to pair for.
We acknowledge that social media is a mess because it collapses nuance, making these two opposites look identical to the naked eye. We have to look past the pixels.
And we realize that for many people, these photos aren't about vanity. They are about maturity. They are about moving from shame to stewardship, creating stones of remembrance for themselves, not just content for the crowd.
It's a journey from insecurity to honor, and that is a journey worth taking.
So for you listening right now, maybe you're someone who loves the gym and struggles with these questions. Maybe you're someone who judges people who love the gym. Or maybe you're just trying to figure out how to live in a body without worshiping it or hating it.
The final distinction to hold on to is this. And it's something to ask yourself the next time you post a photo or the next time you judge someone else's. The question isn't, does this image show the body? That's the wrong question.
That's an optics question.
Exactly.
So what is the right question?
The question is the body being worshipped? Or being honored.
Worshipped or honored.
Because fit fashion, in its true intent, exists firmly in the realm of honor.
That distinction changes everything. It invites us to check our own hearts, not just about fitness, but about everything we celebrate. Are we saying, look at me, or are we saying, thank you?
It's a question only we can answer for ourselves.
And that is where we will leave it for today. Thank you for diving deep with us into the theology of the body. We'll see you on the next one.